we had a title for tonight's topic, we could call it The True Message. That's something that we don't hear much of in the day and age in which we live, and that is truth. And no matter what it is, truth in conversation, truth in the news, truth in whatever it may be, we find very little truth. And whereas when we were younger and were kids, we could basically depend on what someone would tell us as being the truth. We all listened to Walter Cronkite on the news and we thought, well, this is the truth. But for now, there is very little truth. But in the Word of God, all is true. And certainly, this is the true message that we find in 1 Corinthians, a very familiar verse of Scripture to all of us. 1 Corinthians, and we'll look at those first few verses in chapter 2. And certainly, this is the message of Christ and Him crucified. Certainly, it is not of this world. It is not of false religion. It's not of the majority of people around us. But for those of us who are truly His, it is our message. Certainly, as we see here in these first few verses, we see that Paul here shows his resolve and reason for preaching. He will not depend on his own education. He will not depend on his own knowledge in his preaching. His dependence is in the Holy Spirit for wisdom, and certainly that wisdom being the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says there in those first few verses, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Certainly in these introduction scriptures here, it leaves no room for error, as it never does, nowhere in God's Word. Nothing that we receive from the Lord Jesus has anything to do with our wisdom or any man's wisdom. The apostle explains here in verse 1 that his mission was to declare the very testimony of God. He did not give it in excellent speech, nor was there any human wisdom on his part associated with what he preached. As he states in other passages, all the human wisdom he had been taught in his life, and certainly he had a lot of it, it was for nothing. In that second verse, as we just read, his particular aim was to preach unto him Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is a true message. That is a true gospel, and there is none other. But there is very little of preaching Christ crucified in his day and in the day in which we live as well. The tendency is to shy away from that. We don't want any part of that. That leaves no room for us when we do that. So they shy away from the cross, and they shy away from the blood of love. Let's talk about love and peace and all that man thinks that he can accomplish. But the crucified Christ is the finished redemption demanded by a holy and righteous God. The crucifixion of our Savior, his death at the hands of his own people, his subsequent resurrection from the dead, it sets what Paul preached from all other false religions. And certainly that sets what we believe today from the false teachers of our day. Paul and others were so dominant in their preaching of the cross, they were often accused of worshiping a dead man. As we see reference to that there in back in chapter 1 of this book in 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Chapter 1 of this book goes into great detail that the world could not know Christ by its own wisdom. It was an impossibility. It does not have that capability. as he says there in that 21st verse, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Certainly, as we move on down the verses, verse 3 gives the condition at the time of his writing. He states that as far as the physical, he was very weak. He was weak as a man. He was weak in the flesh. But the importance and power of the message, of this true message, and the mission that he had, that God had given him, caused him to be fearful and in much trembling. That's how important it was. These conditions did not cause him to back off, however. It did not make him fear to the point that he would not give forth this message that he had in his heart. The power of his preaching was not in himself. The power was in the message of the crucified Christ, proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was not given with slick and shiny words of man's wisdom. It was given with the power of God. Not the words of the apostle, but divine revelation, direct divine revelation from the triune God. Paul today would never make it as a television preacher of our day. He wouldn't get the following of masses of people. He wouldn't go with the glitzy words and the satin shows. He couldn't and wouldn't bat his eyes like a Joel Osteen or hold up his in front of his congregation with high dollar tailor suits like T.D. Jakes. Paul did exactly what he was called to do, to preach Christ and him crucified. That was all. That was his message. Because in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is all there is. That is all that's needed, nothing more, nothing less. And he says there in that 6th verse of chapter 2, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Here is stated that there is a wisdom that we speak. It is not the wisdom of the world. It is not the wisdom of man. It is not the wisdom of Satan. It is not the wisdom that is used frivolously, nor is one that man can boast of. It is that wisdom that comes from the very power of God. Wisdom that is virtually the crucified Christ. Note the audience here with which the wisdom is used. It is spoken among them that are perfect. Here the word meaning mature, referencing genuine believers, those who have truly been called, those who were chosen before the beginning of time, those who are in the body of Christ, in the wisdom of Christ himself. Not at a standstill, not something done and gone away, but a time when we have that in our hearts that God has placed there, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, where there is a growing and a rejoicing in his grace and mercy and love, understanding that there is nothing whatsoever in ourselves, but it is all in him. As Hebrews tells us, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." We gain the most from preaching and teaching that is based not on man's wisdom, but on wisdom given by God. The discernment of the speaker through the Holy Ghost working through him. The discernment of the listener through the Holy Ghost opening his eyes and opening his ears. His wisdom reveals the great truths of this word. The true message. Not speaking here of sinless perfections, as some would contend, it speaks of a understanding and a seeing for the first time and a seeing and retaining forever. It speaks of a maturity in the things of God that grows with this learning, with this discernment. Prayer as his word is opened unto us. As Matthew tells us there in Matthew 5, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect." We cannot speak in the knowledge and eloquence of this world. We may not be the most learned person. We may not have the education that is necessary to stand before crowds. But we can speak in a knowledge and a wisdom that is truly out of and greater than this world. That being, we can speak in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no wisdom that is truer. There is no wisdom that is higher. And certainly natural man will never agree to that. To him, it is all about what he can do and what he must do and what he can accomplish on his own. But that takes away nothing from the true message. The wisdom of God is open to us by the Holy Spirit. He provides those things needed that we can see these truths. We can discern these truths, revealing light and truth contained in the Word of God. Paul understood fully, and he relays that to us, that what he preached was not his own, but came from God himself. That is why over and over again in his letters to the various churches, he was careful to always give God the glory and absolutely no credit to himself. He tells us always in no uncertain terms that the wisdom of the age and the wisdom of the rulers of the age has absolutely no validity with God. Claimers of wisdom in themselves or other men to the things of God is the very core of all false religion. And then we see that this message of truth, of Christ crucified, was ordained before the world ever was. And we also see by looking at the scripture that this message was divinely crafted for a certain sect of people. It was divinely crafted for the elect. As he says there in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He states here in his message, it is from the mystery of God. What is that mystery? Is it something that cannot be understood? It is as we see in our day, the speaking of tongues that no one can understand and the people doing it have no idea what they're saying, not even the one doing or the one stating. This fallacy is nothing of the real gift that we find here in the scriptures. When one spoke, there were those who understood, as we saw there at Pentecost. But this mystery, however, is no longer mysterious or unknown unto those of us who belong unto Christ. Though there was a time when it was known only to God, when there was a time when there wasn't even a man and it was known only unto God. This hidden from natural man was ordained by God before the world began. This mystery as spoken of in the scripture is a truth that had not been revealed until now. And certainly that was revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Matthew 13 tells us, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. It is only given unto his own. It can only be divinely revealed because God is the only one who knew this mystery, this truth. And in the mystery is the divine element of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many mysteries are unknown that God reveals at the beginning of the church age here, as we see as these things were turned around from the law to grace. And all those that rest in the Savior, they are revealed in the person of Christ. These mysteries are. Only a sovereign God. Only a God in charge of all things. Only a God who knows all things could have ordained these many precious truths before they were ever known. Only He knew our needs before we were ever born. Only He knew of the creation and fall of man and what was necessary that fall be reversed in each and every individual that belonged unto Him. Only in the second Adam was redemption of that fall paid for. Only in His blood. Paul wants us to know that it was God's plan, not man's plan, to save sinners, to give salvation unto each and every one that He chose before man ever was. Left up to man, man will never choose God. He cautions that we're not to take credit here for anything that God does in our lives. It is not our deserving of His grace, of His love, of His long-suffering, of His mercy, or any of these attributes that God gives unto His own. It is totally in His power. It is in the wisdom of God that all these things are revealed. It is the discernment applied by the Holy Spirit that we are allowed to understand these things. As Ephesians 3 tells us, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. We are born sinners. We do not naturally possess this boldness and confidence that he talks about. Those attributes are not indwelt in any man, but they are given from God above unto those that are his own. The elect's faith is God-given. It is not something they obtain on their own. It is not something that one must work for, all because God said so. All because God eternally purposed it from before the beginning of the world. Only in his glory can we abide. There is no glory in ourselves. Only in his righteousness can we abide. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. This is the pure love of God. The people in false religion talk about the love of God have absolutely no idea what they're speaking of. They don't know about the pure love of God. Only his love for his own allows his wisdom to be passed to a mere mortal man, to have a heavenly wisdom, to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand these things, one that can come from nowhere else, only wisdom found in Christ Jesus. What we understand, what we proclaim, what we discern of Christ crucified, we can take absolutely no credit for. It is all in his wisdom. And we see this truth is hidden. It's hidden from the unbelievers. As the verse 8 says there in that same chapter, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What wisdom did the most highly exalted of the Jewish religious community have? Certainly, it was not the wisdom of God. They had the wisdom of man. They had the wisdom of themselves. They, as all natural man, created their own religion. In their hearts and minds, they thought they were infallible and that God could not get along without them. We read that in Scripture. Yet in all the revelation they had of the Old Testament, they did not have a clue to who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And they crucified the Messiah. Paul calls them the princes of this world, men that were guided by their own flesh and pride, men influenced by the prince of darkness, all in accordance to the plan and purpose of a sovereign God. There was no God-given wisdom on their part, though they claimed to have the inside track on exactly what God wanted, though they claimed to be doing exactly God's will, they wrote their own law. They took away from, they added to. Is that not what we have in the vast majority of religious circles of our day? Many will say, well, I know what the Scripture says, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I believe. Or God could not have really meant that, or you interpreted it the way you want, and I'll interpret it the way I want. It has absolutely nothing to do with the true message. The message is true from start to finish. Scripture says these religious Jews and Pilate stand guilty before God for their crucifixion of the Savior, just as all men do. They put to death the Lord of glory. Surely if they had known, Paul says, they would have never done so. But they did not know. They did not know because their wisdom was not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their wisdom was in themselves. Jesus on the cross testified to the very fact of their ignorance. And they did not know the truth, therefore they chose to act in the untruth. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The truth is not in them, therefore they are blinded to the truth because of their unbelief. Therefore they act in a blind and heedless way. Yet they did not have a choice. This was God's choice for them from the very beginning of time. And then we see the message of Christ crucified. The true message is reserved for the heirs of Christ. It's concealed from a human spirit. From the human sinful flesh, it is concealed. As verse 9 tells us in this chapter, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We're shown here that it is impossible for the eye of natural man to see the holy things of God. There can be no discernment on his part. Not only that, neither can the ear hear. It will never understand the holy edicts of God's word. It doesn't have that ability. With the eye and the ear, man can judge naturally what he hears and sees, but God's truth are not subject to man. The things that he thinks are subjective, God's truth are not subject to this either. Only through the opening of the ears and eyes and heart, only in divinely given discernment to those that belong unto him, understand the wisdom of God. Understand that it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees could quote the law and tradition backwards and forwards. They knew every word. They, however, did not have any spiritual understanding at all. They didn't have that spiritual understanding necessary to know what was truth. He does not have it on the outside. He cannot hear or see it. Then certainly he cannot have it on the inside. The wisdom given by God is only for his own. Only for the elect, given unto his own, for God's honor and God's glory. The heart of sinful man is cold and callous to the things of God. It is bouncing a ball, like bouncing a rubber ball off the concrete. It does not penetrate. It just bounces off. It never enters the heart and the soul. Only those that belong to the Lord can understand these truths. He has prepared their hearts to accept these great mysteries, given them the wisdom to understand them. As Isaiah 64 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Only can we love the Lord in the fact that he first loved us. Again, not because we deserve or earn it, but because of his wonderful grace and mercy upon us, and because he chose to. The mysteries that he speaks of here can only be known unto us through divine revelation. It is not available to us in the wisdom of natural men, as he reiterates over and over again in these passages. And then we see that these mysteries and these things are revealed unto us that belong unto him by the Holy Spirit. And we will see that in these next few verses. As it says there in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. If the eye, ears, and hearts are prepared by God, how is his wisdom revealed unto us? Key is that preparation must come first. There can be no discernment. There can be no wisdom without a prepared heart, a changed heart. This discernment, this understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. This wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, that saves us in the first place, can only be revealed unto us by him. And through the Spirit, he works in our hearts to reveal unto us the truths of God, to illuminate his works in us. From a heart of stone and natural man to a heart made pliable and receptive to the gift of salvation in Christ by the Holy Spirit. He also provides that joy that we have and that inspiration that we have that causes us to rejoice in his calling us unto himself and understanding that we had nothing to do with it. It is always the Holy Spirit doing the work in our hearts. It is always him. It is always him in illumination and revelation and inspiration. This was not only true in Paul's day, it is true in our day. It's been true with each and every true prophet of God in the Old Testament, as well as they got their revelation from the Holy Spirit, as Peter tells us there in 2 Peter 1. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Many times, especially in our day, the work of the Holy Spirit is not recognized. They belittle the work of the Holy Spirit. Say it doesn't have the same importance as the work of God the Father and God the Son. But each and every part of the Trinity is equal. they are truly one. The Holy Spirit reveals the power of God unto the salvation of sinful man, but only unto those that are chosen and called. There is nothing wasted, not revealed unto natural man, as Matthew 11. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, speaking of natural man, and hast revealed them unto babes. Never question the knowledge and power of the Holy Spirit, for he knows all that God knows, for he is God. We're not to be influenced by the false religious interpretation of the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not to be influence that there has to be a second work of grace or speaking of tongues, all in the purview that man has that ability, just as he believes he has all the ability of getting salvation from God by his own work. That it is his initiative, his right, his ability to demand from God what he wants, and God must do what he says. That is natural man's thought. But what a joyful, and yet what a very sobering thought that God lives within us. Many times we want to take lightly the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but he is God, equal to God the Father and God the Son, living within us. Looking at myself, I can say that his love and his long suffering is limitless, because many times I can't even bear myself, and yet he is always there with me. And when we look at that 11th verse, it says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The Scripture tells us that for one to have this understanding, for one to know this truth, these truths that are talked about here, the truths of God the Holy Spirit must dwell within him. Just as man knows things of man, he can only know things of God if he be one of his, if we're truly one of his. Yet one can have a general knowledge of some of the things of God, as we have so many that do, many that can quote Scripture, and we have many that do that as well. But to have this wisdom, we have to have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be redeemed by his precious blood. We have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must belong unto him. All else is the basis of false religion, when man interprets the way he wants, not what the truth really is. Once again, we're shown here in this verse that the Holy Spirit is equal to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is omniscient. He knows all things, for he is God, and there is nothing hidden from him. His depth of knowledge is the most inner secret counsel and mysteries of God. Only through him can these things be revealed unto us, the true believers. Paul is saying, who can have this knowledge of God except God? Just as no man can know what is in the mind of another, we cannot know what is in the mind of God except through our communication with him, with the Holy Spirit, into which he sheds light on these things. We don't pray to him, but it is his inner working that sheds these lights. It is he that does the revealing. It is he that opens the heart. It is he that opens the mind. This nullifies the belief that one can come to God at his own choice. This is a fallacy promoted by false religion, that we can come to God in our own time. If God is the author and God is the finisher of our faith, if he is the author and finisher of our salvation, if he chooses and he calls, certainly he does the work to prepare the heart and to save the soul. If we dare associate anything that we do to say that we deserve or that we earn what God has freely given unto us, what he has chosen to give unto us, then we have denied the very sovereign power of God. Verse 12 tells us, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Those things that are divinely and freely given of God. Not those things that are come up with by natural man. None of these things that are divinely and freely given of God are given unto unbelievers. It is not in the universities. It is not in the learning centers of this world. Where will you find this wisdom? It is not some soothsayer or some guru on a mountaintop that can give the answers that you seek to these things. It is only in the revelation of the Holy Spirit that can show us the truth of the true message. It is in His wisdom. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that these truths freely are given unto His own. Paul was referring to himself and other apostles here as he used this pronoun we as to how the Holy Spirit had revealed unto them the mysteries of the Father. Certainly this shows us that it is all a divine effort and not an effort on the part of man. They, as all the writers of Scripture, were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit with these great truths, as 2 Timothy tells us. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Through the Holy Spirit, their spiritual thoughts became these words that were penned in the precious Word of God. There, it became divine truth that was written. Truth hidden from the unbeliever, but truth revealed unto those that belong unto Him. And in that 13th verse it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Each and every word of the true message of God's Word is divinely inspired. They were penned by the writers chosen by God. It is not their thoughts. It is not their intents. It is not from a personal view. It was not their opinion. It was exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted them to say. This could be no other way. For the Word of God to be infallible, it has to be His Word. It has to be error-free. For believers through the ages to be able to understand that you can stand alone on this sacred book, it could be no other way. It is a spiritual environment, not a fleshly environment, not a worldly environment, and to drag the things of this world and the flesh into it pollutes it to where it has no strength, and it becomes a watered-down gospel. Therefore, it is a false gospel, and it is the invention of man. It was the doctrines of Christ taught them by the Holy Spirit so that they could pen the Word as God would have it written, not as man would like it. Given knowledge and given the ability to speak and write that knowledge, penned for all eternity in truth, we find this in the Word of God. These divinely inspired writers were given the ability to compare spiritual with spiritual, to compare the writings of the Old Testament with the mysteries revealed in the New Testament. The words given forth by the Spirit of God were given plain enough that those that belong to God can understand. This does not mean that we can open His Word and they will automatically be absorbed into our brain. It is there for us. And God tells us we're to pray and we're to meditate and we're to study His Word to understand His Word. And then in verse 14 it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There is no ability in our natural self. There is no ability in our flesh. There is no ability in unsaved man, in the unbeliever, to know or receive any of the wisdom of God's Word. No matter a person's education or intellect or common sense, he cannot have that spiritual discernment. That is impossible. When one claims to be an expert on the Word of God, when one writes books about it, proclaims it, yet in their doctrine they are diametrically opposed to what God says, to the true gospel, to the true message of the crucified Christ, they are working from the standpoint of natural man, who, according to this verse, they cannot understand God's Word. They cannot know the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not reveal that wisdom to those that are not true children of God. They cannot receive it because they haven't been given it. They can have a head knowledge, so to speak. They can talk of the Bible as they talk of other books. They can quote scriptures from start to finish. But they are just like the men that crucified the Savior there at the cross. They have absolutely nothing in spiritual discernment. All, as saints, we're given spiritual discernment. We're given it through the Holy Spirit that allows us to see and to know these precious truths hidden from the unbelieving world, hidden in the mysteries of God that are not revealed to everyone. In the Old Testament, David asked God there in Psalms that he reveal the mysteries of his word. He asked that he open his eyes. The Psalms 119 tells us, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law." This illumination that we're given does not mean that we know everything. It does not mean that it does not require study and meditation and prayer on our part. It does not mean that we're given it all in one lump. But these mysteries of God are revealed unto us. It does mean that when we study God's Word and when we read His Word and we want to know these truths, and these truths are given unto us that we understand that it was all in the Lord Jesus Christ and in nothing else, we will not be taken in by every wind of doctrine that blows our way. We are given the ability to see what is right and what is wrong, no matter the package that it comes in. Certainly, it is not a flash thing. It is not an instant thing. It is not an overnight thing. But it is a part of our life every day as a saint of God. This discernment, that where we are given to see what the Lord meant by these words. Discernment allows us to live in the day and age in which we live and not be inundated by all that goes on around us. That we can see the fallacy of all these men and movements that claim to be of God and that have so much that they add to. But yet we can see by the Holy Spirit revealing unto us that if we were in that place, if we had not been chosen, if we were not of the elect, then certainly we would see it the same way. Can we be taken in by some of these things? Certainly. We saw that. We see that in Scripture. But not through any failure of the Holy Spirit. It is through our sinful self. It is through our flesh. Sin in our lives that can allow these inroads. The failure of our sinful self as we fail so many times. But we can count on one thing. That the Word of God never fails. As we see here in the life of this very apostle that writes these words. He was humbled more and more by the truth that he understood. He was humble more and more and understood more and more. He was nothing but a sinner. It was never an element of pride or never an element of holier than thou attitude in his life. He understood where it all came from. He understood that it was all in the holiness and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood more daily of his inability and the tremendous ability of the Holy Spirit. As he told his spiritual son there, as he talked to Timothy in the letter there in 2 Timothy, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we see there in verses 15 and 16 as we finish here, he says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The unbeliever certainly sees our faults and failures as man. They can identify sins. They have the ability to see the right and wrong in us. But they do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not have, as we have, the Holy Spirit giving us that ability to evaluate and identify these failures that need to be corrected. And certainly to identify those things that are not right around us. This does not set us up as someone holier than anyone else. For we're not holier at all. This does not set us up as judge and jury. But it does give us light. That we know what is of God, what is truth, what is a part of the true message, and what is not. Through the Holy Spirit, our eyes are open and we can see and we can understand. And certainly this element of our spiritual life is just the beginning. The beginning of things to come in eternity, when we shall be like Christ. As it says here, having the mind of Christ, and then in that environment we will be like Christ. As 1 John 3 tells us, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As saints of God, we are allowed to know and understand the thoughts of our Lord, and in that we have the mind of Christ. We are giving understanding that we could never have without it being given unto us. Does that mean that we know the future? Does that mean that we know when the Lord's coming? Does that mean that we know when judgment shall fall? None of these things are our understanding. It is not for us to understand. Certainly that is promoted in the day and age in which we live. It does mean that we have peace and solace that others do not have. We have a mind and heart that is grounded in the spiritual things, and that gives us understanding. Not when our mind and heart is grounded in fleshly things. That only gives us uncomfort. The Holy Spirit will reveal unto us when something is right and when it is not, because we do not have that ability in ourselves. We rejoice that it is not up to us in our flesh to discern what we are faced with each and every day. But in the sovereignty of God, He has provided the means for us to understand His wisdom, to understand that we are part of the mind of Christ. As He says there in Luke 24, Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Certainly, this is the true message revealed unto the elect by the Holy Spirit. It can be no other way. If left to us, we would never choose a triune God. If left to us, we would only choose our flesh and sin. It is His work from start to finish. There is no ability in ourselves to choose God, to come to God, to possess His salvation at our request, to keep His salvation at our begging, to spend eternity in a place prepared for His own by Christ. It is all in Christ alone. Nothing in us, all in the true message of Christ crucified. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You just now, we're thankful for these Scriptures. Certainly, Lord, familiar to all of us, Lord, but such a joy and pleasure to each and every one of us who truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for all You do for us, Lord, for Your mercy, love, for Your long-suffering, for Your grace unto us. Lord, we thank You for all of these things. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Remember those, Lord, that Brother Benny prayed in the earlier prayer. And we're thankful for all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Truth.